Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night family chat or social hour, whatever you want to call it. Today is the 19th of July, year 2023. And, of course, we all are sitting around watching as the world seems to be going up in flames. But take heart that, you know, we know our Father's in charge. So everything that's happening is under His purview. So do not allow the enemy to shake your foundations, to get you all concerned. It's part of the game. It's part of the show. It's everything is stage production. And these people are all actors playing their parts. Everything is marketing. That dawned on me earlier today. Virtually everything in this world right now is marketing. They're either trying to market a product to get you to buy it or market an idea to get you to accept it. It's all the same techniques. They're all part of the strategy that was developed by Edward Bernays back just about 100 years ago. He wrote books about it, both marketing and how to cultivate the hive mind, so to speak, control the narrative. In order to take us, the cattle, since he was a Jew, obviously we're just cattle to them. And so he developed techniques to drive the cattle whatever direction he wanted them, either to buy products they didn't need or were inferior, or to buy ideas that were inferior to what our ancestors believed. And the other thing that dawned on me, too, is how many times we get into these altercations with one another. And yet one of the quotes I send around all the time is, it is a sin to the human mind to believe something without evidence. Okay, and it dawned on me that just take the subject of toilet paper. Now, it sounds kind of silly. I understand that. But you take the subject of toilet paper, and when you talk about that with somebody, they act like you're from Mars. If you talk about the fact there was a time when people didn't have it, okay, because everybody alive today, obviously, including myself, toilet paper's been around as long as we have. So in our minds, there was never a time without it. And yet, it's easy to prove that for most of mankind's traveling and existence on this earth, they did not have it, all right? And yet today, people believe it. At least in their brains, they think it's been around forever, and they think you're crazy to even bring up the subject. But the point I'm trying to make is when there is no toilet paper, which we went through here in the last 3.5 years, obviously, especially when it first started, people started to panic as if it was the end of civilized society, the end of the world. People just went crazy because they didn't have toilet paper. And I just sat there and I thought about it. What happened to us? Okay, our ancestors walked this earth for millennia. They didn't have toilet paper and they seemed to survive somehow. So why is it that we have to have a total meltdown when the modern conveniences aren't available to us? It just shows you how we have been driven by Bernays's books on the hive mind, we have been conditioned by the propaganda to believe that all of these conveniences are a necessity of life rather than just not so much gifts, but pleasantries or nice-to-haves, etc. We're being conditioned to think that we must have them. So if the beast withholds them from us, that somehow we are in servitude and slavery, and we're living in squalor because we don't have the niceties of life. Do you see what I'm saying? So our people will literally sell their souls, sell themselves out in order to have things that really are not necessities. They're nice to have, obviously. They're convenient. But they sure as hell are not necessary for life to exist. Ella put in the chat here, when I was a young girl, my grandparents had an outhouse, and all that was there was a Sears catalog for paper and corn cobs left over from meals. Yeah, I remember those days. when I was a boy, Mrs. Ewing, she had a farm just up the road from our farm, and she used to babysit us. And that's what they had, an outhouse. And in the outhouse was a catalog. It wasn't always a Sears catalog, some sort of a newspaper or a catalog where you could tear paper off of it and use it. I don't recall ever seeing corn cobs in any of the outhouses I was in, but there was always some sort of a magazine or rolled up newspaper. So again, it's not been that long, and I'm bringing it up only to point out the fact of how we've been conditioned to think like the Jew wants us to think because of their propaganda machine. And again, it's all driven by a profit motive, the love of money. Okay, everything is profit motive to these people. That every decision they make is driven by profit. I remember in the military and then in the nuclear power industry, they used to make us use software that was called, like in one power plant, it was called NAMS, N-A-M-S, NAMS, which was Nuclear Asset Management System. All right, so what was NAMS? It was a computer software program that they paid a lot of money for, multiple millions of dollars, for this software to turn everything within the ownership of the power company into, quote, an asset, so that they could give it a number and a numeric value for it, so that the accountants could decide what was profitable and what wasn't. And when I say everything, I mean everything, including us, the workers. We became assets. We were given numbers and a value in the computer system. And every power plant I worked in was going that way. They called it something different. In other words, it was nuclear asset management here. It was called something different. But the software itself did exactly the same thing. It gave everything an ID number and a value. And then they wrote up the programs to determine whether you were, quote, viable asset, meaning you were adding to their profit line, or you were no longer needed. That was about the same time they did what they used to call weighted averaging, and there was another term for it, personnel profiling. That's basically what they did, was make everybody in the power company prove that the power company needed them. In other words, you had to prove to them why they should keep you as an employee. Now, supervisors didn't have to do it, as far as I know, but all the worker bees had to write up papers and justify their existence to management. So they had this digital system within the computers watching you and ranking you, plus your supervisors were going to look at this report and determine whether you were, quote, absolutely needed or not. And this was years ago, and now you look at the way the society is being run, it's exactly the same thing. Now your government operates the same as the corporations, and so they are looking at everybody as to, are you part of our profit line? Are you going to add to our profit margin, or are you a liability? And if you're a liability, they're going to try to get rid of you. It's as simple as that. I mean, you can see the handwriting on the wall. So human life has been degraded by this beast system. We no longer obey our Heavenly Father. We no longer live according to His dictates. We've adopted Satan, if you want to call it that, Satan the adversary, his kids, who operate as one, an adversary to all that is good and right on this world. And they come up with these systems that put you in little pigeonholes, and they put you in there as to whether or not you're going to add to the value of their corporate stock, add to the value of their banking accounts. And if you don't meet up to their standards, then they figure you're a useless eater and you need to go away. And so you can see what they're doing. When COVID first was put out there, it's all fake and it's all fraud. We know that, of course. But when they first started putting it into the people's minds, remember, they went after the elderly. They were killing off the elderly, okay, because they have taken and stolen the Social Security money over the decades that it's been around to where there's almost nothing left of it. And so they want to get the people on Social Security, get rid of them. Plus, the elderly are no longer considered useful cattle to them, so they want to euthanize them. And so what better way to do it than have a medical emergency? It doesn't exist, but while you're, quote, in an emergency like that, then they can get away with committing murder because nobody's around to watch them. And that's exactly what they did. Remdesivir was a death sentence. The ventilators was a death sentence. The isolation from loved ones is a death sentence. The other drugs that were given is a death sentence, etc. And so they did. They got rid of a lot of our older people. They certainly tore up the middle class, another goal of the communists to eliminate the middle class. And so that's happening at record speed. So again, we had generals and many other people tell us that, you know, be careful because the communists never went away. They're still here. And yes, they are. They are still here operating amongst us. And yet most people don't even know it. So just a couple little points I wanted to bring up here, and then we'll get into our discussion with our folks here. But just think about that, believing something without evidence is a sin. And we got a lot of people with dogma and different ideas that fall into that category. And I know a lot of people don't like hearing that, but I've run into it almost on a daily basis. Okay? People want to think that what they have in their brain is 100% truth, when in fact, it is people accepting an idea or some kind of dogma or a program without evidence. Now, the Jew loves that about our people because they can make a movie or they can put up a fake news report or have some clown from the NIH or anything like that, like a Fauci or a Birx, put a lab coat on them and people will believe that idiot. Or somebody from Washington, D.C., another group of idiots, they'll put them up there as if they're some sort of expert, and people walk away believing it. No evidence. Somebody saying something on a screen is not evidence. Because, yes, most of them are actors. Literally actors, just like that Jew in the Ukraine. He's literally an actor, and he's not even a good one. He's a misfit. Much like Obama, much like Macron, much like Trudeau, all Jews, all actors, not even good actors. But they get away with it because there's a support mechanism through the media and the governments to prop them up and protect them. So they don't even have to be good at what they do. And they're still being supported. And we, the people, like good little sheep, give our obedience when we should be organizing into armies to take these people down. They're monsters. They have no empathy, no sympathy for mankind, no milk of human kindness whatsoever runs through their veins. They are monsters, actually. Yep, Ellis says actors are hypocrites pretending to be something they're not. Right, just like the Greek word hippokrates, we talked about that. The word hypocrite comes from hippokrates, which is the Greek word for an actor. Somebody pretending to be something he's not. Hypocrite. And that's exactly what these people are. So anyway, let me go ahead and unmute everybody and we can start our open forum discussion. Jeremiah, I think you have yourself muted there, buddy. It looks like it anyway. If not, just put something in the chat and I'll re-unmute you, so to speak. So floor is open. I'll yield. Does anybody have anything they want to talk about or bring to the forum here? We are recording it so other folks can listen to it later on when they have more time.
You're right. That's what they call the, that's what Yeshua called the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23 to the end. Woe to you hypocrites. And, you know, telling, it's even involving the lawyers, the ones who make the laws for people, that all these people that rule us or govern us, government, ruling the mind, they tell us lies. They feed us stories that are not true. And we fall for it every time because we worship them because they're on television.
Yep. Well, you know, I'm ashamed to say it. I had relatives of mine actually said that to me one day, that I used to tell them about what's going on in politics, and they said, oh, that can't be true. And I said, well, wait a minute. What do you mean? I was in the military. I saw it firsthand. I've got friends of mine in government. So what do you mean it's not true? And they said, well, if it was true, it'd be on television. And these are actual, you know, elders in the family. And years later, I thought to myself, how in the world could anybody ever say that?
I've heard it too, particularly from my daughter, my older daughter who lives in Texas. When I'm over their house, or I used to be, I don't go over anymore. There's never a time that I've walked into their house, their television has not been on. And I mean, their screen covers a whole wall. I can't tell you how big it is, but it's bigger than 5 feet long and 5 feet wide. It takes up the whole living room, and they sit there night after night after night listening to that bull. And I wonder why they are the way they are. It's mental abuse. It's brainwashing. The television is telling you how to dress, how to live, how to act. I mean, remember the days of Father Knows Best, when Father, played by Robert Young, was the supreme ruler in the house, and he was wise, and he led his family, and the children obeyed them, had little skirmishes where they did wrong things, and it was proven how wrong they were. Well, television now has father being an idiot and the mother being whatever they call prostitutes, whores nowadays, with their dresses cut down to their belly buttons and their bottoms cut up to the top of their thighs. It's a wonder they can find a place to sit without exposing themselves. And that's the way people think that we ought to live and act, the way that we watch those shows on television. Well, I've been without one now for 3 years. I don't miss it one bit.
I don't either. My TV's been off for a long, long time. I started turning it off back in the 1990s, and pretty much has been off since then. And I actually don't miss it at all. And when I go to visit people, if they've got it on there, I find it extremely irritating. In fact, I've had a couple people, I told them, if the TV's on, I'm leaving. I can't have a conversation with you if that thing's on. And it's true. You can't. You'll notice their eyes are always darting to the screen. It's like the screen is a tractor beam, and it's done intentionally. Okay? The enemy knows this. If that thing is on, your attention's drawn to it, whether you think you are or not. So if you're trying to have a conversation with somebody and that electronic toilet is on, you're not going to have a conversation with them. And I'd be almost willing to bet 90% of the time, if you ask them a question about the conversation you just had an hour or two later, they're not going to remember most of it because you didn't have their attention to begin with. So general rule that I have is TV off. You want to have a conversation, you shut the damn television off.
And also there's a thing about when you're sitting in the living room, even if the television is off, they have their cell phones right in front of them. And then you hear the ding, bing, bing, and you look down and you're seeing them reading whatever text is on their screens there. And there's no communication anymore.
No, you're right. It's they've got us conditioned that little box needs to go with us everywhere we go. People, they can't seem to be able to put it in the car, leave it in the glove box. And, you know, what's funny is people will have want to have a conversation that might be a little sensitive in nature, okay? And yet, you'll just have had a discussion with them about the fact that they're listening in, because you'll be having a discussion about a certain item or a certain commodity, and the next thing you know, your cell phone is popping up with advertising in that general area, okay? So obviously, they're listening in. It's happening to all kinds of people. And yet, people don't seem to understand. If you're having a conversation of a sensitive nature, maybe it's a private conversation, or you're talking about something that needs to be done about what's going on in the world, and yet people will have that spy sitting within 3 feet of them while you're talking. I don't, what's wrong with people? You're inviting the enemy into your conversation by leaving that box within earshot, and yet you've just talked about with these very same people the fact that they're listening in because they're directing their marketing of products and services to you based on what you're talking about. Well, if they can do that, then they can also direct your conversation to other not-so-friendly forces, including the IDF, the Israelis. So I don't get it. Why can't people seem to understand? If the marketing people are listening in on you, you don't think the NSA and the IDF and all the other spy networks are listening in on your conversations? Come on, people. Put the damn thing away. Put it in airplane mode. Wrap it up in a Faraday cage box or a Faraday bag. They're fairly cheap. They've got some really nice ones out now. They're a little more expensive, but you can get a relatively cheap electrostatic bag or a Faraday bag. We used to use them in the powerhouse all the time because if you work on integrated circuits, they are extremely sensitive to electrostatic charge. You can actually wipe them out. So computer chips and integrated circuits are extremely sensitive to electrostatic charges. So they have electrostatic bags, which in effect are very similar to a Faraday bag. They are a shield around the electronics so that it does not receive a charge. And if you have it grounded or made of a certain material, you can actually then keep signals from getting in or getting out. Just some food for thought.
Well, there's actually a U.S. Patent. It's U.S. 6506148B2, and it's mind manipulation that comes from your TV and attacks your nervous system, and it also can come from your monitor, your computer monitor. And I'm assuming the phones also. I don't know about the phones, but there is a patent. It's a mind manipulating patent that is in your TVs.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, look at the zombies in our world today. And just like Ella was saying, it typically are the zombies are the television watchers. You know, and we've said that for years. It's the image controlled by the beast. You know, the scriptures call it the image of the beast, but remember, of can be possessive. It's a proposition, and it can be a possessive proposition. So image of the beast, image controlled by, belongs to, operated by the beast system. So we're all looking for images like statues and pictures of some demon-looking guy when the image controlled by the beast is right in front of our faces. These flat screens with the black face on it until you fire it up, and then it's got the blue light, the blue LED light, which is also affecting us. And then the images start pouring across it, and people will believe the images. They're worshiping the beast. That's a form of worship. When you believe something, again, without evidence, you just take it on faith. And so watching your flat screens and believing whatever the moron that's image is flickering in front of you, that is a form of worship. You give your reverence or fear, Okay, some government official gets on there and tells you that you got to give the federal government 25% of your salary just because we say so, or else. So when you comply, even though they're going to spend that money to do things that are not moral, okay, and that's what a lot of people don't seem to understand. When you send the government money and then they spend it to murder people in other countries, or they're going to transfer drugs, or they're going to get into the sex slave trade or child molesting business, et cetera, with that money, you're aiding and abetting them. Think about that for a second. You are actually aiding and abetting criminal activity. But they've got you so afraid because you watch that image of the beast that they're going to come in and knock your door down and take you and drag you away because you failed to pay the beast his toll. They got you so afraid of that, you'll actually support things that if they were to go to your front door and say, would you like to donate to the latest pedophile ring that's operating out of City Hall? We would like you to support it. Well, I would hope that everybody here would say, get lost, you son of a bitch. But now, because they have this image telling you to be afraid, people gladly give them the money to go ahead and do these things. Kumri says here also, if you buy a bag online, remember to test it by calling your phone. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good point. You're right, because I did test one here recently, a Faraday bag that was supposed to do it, and my phone rang. So if somebody calls your phone while it's in the bag and it rings, that bag's not working. That's one of the tests. Would you have to have two phones? Ella says the test that, no, you don't have to. You just have to have a friend call you. So what I usually do is call somebody that I know, say, give me a call in a minute, and hang up. Then within a minute, I take the phone, turn it off, put it in airplane mode, put it in the bag. Don't put it in airplane mode. I'm sorry. You want to leave it on. Leave it in its normal mode. Just slip it into the bag, cover it up, seal it, whatever kind of bag it is, seal it, and then wait to see if the signal gets in when they try to call you. If you hear your phone ring, that means that it's not working. That's a quick and easy and cheap way to do it. The other way to do it is have a meter that measures most of the cell phone towers, I think, operate in the gigahertz frequency range. So you'd have to have a meter that measures that signal. So you can do it that way, too. You can see whether or not there's any kind of signal coming out of the bag into the meter. But a quick, dirty, cheap way is just have somebody call you while it's in the bag. Ralph says here, I do not have a smartphone. I use a flip phone. You can pull the battery out of it. The older smartphones, I have one by Samsung. It has a easy-to-take-out battery as well. So flip phones and the older smartphones had a back on them that was easy to snap off and take the battery out, and it doesn't work. But the only problem with that is, The phone itself is like an RFID chip. So even without a battery in it, it can operate as an RFID chip, which means it doesn't need power to do that. So they can still track you. It'd be no different than if they put a chip in your body. It does not need power. The power comes from the signal hitting the device and reflecting information back. So even with the battery out, it can track you. Now, it may not be listening, not in real time anyway, but it can be used to track you. So a bag, a Faraday bag, is very important to have it, one that actually works. The other thing to do is leave the damn thing at home. Like Ralph says, pull the battery out, turn it off, whatever, and leave it at home. It definitely can't track you if you leave it at home. But see, that's how we've been conditioned. Again, these so-called conveniences have become necessities because of our brains, the way we think of them, okay? When I was young, nobody had phones. I traveled in the military, and I traveled all over the United States by car, and I had no phone.
But there were pay phones then, Dan, and they got us kind of hemmed up. I mean, when I go for a walk and stuff, I don't take my phone. But if I'm traveling, I have to have my phone because there's no pay phones. What if I break down or whatever, and it's unfortunate because I don't like having to take my phone with me.
Yep. Well, pay phones weren't everywhere. There were pay phones out along the highways, like at rest stops and gas stations and things like that. But there were long stretches of road. I remember in Texas, there was no phone anywhere near. So you just took your chances. And plus, I remember back in those days, if somebody broke down, and I used to do it for people that broke down, you pulled over to give them a hand. If they needed a lift to the local gas station to get a truck to go back and get their car, you gave them a lift. And today I've seen people give other people their cell phone to use if it's an emergency. So there are things we can do. I mean, they want us to think, of course, that, you know, again, we're always driven by fear. Okay, the chances of your house burning down is like 1 in 200,000. Statistically, okay, so 1 in 200,000, and yet everybody's got fire insurance. Because of why? Fear. It works. Even though statistically your house isn't going to burn down in your lifetime, but you will spend a lifetime paying premiums into an insurance company because of the 1 in 200,000 chance that your house might be the one that burns down. And typically what happens is the one that burns down is because people were doing what? Smoking in bed, leaving unattended grease on the stove, doing silly things like that. So it was actually their fault. People that are careful and don't do those sort of things usually don't have any problem. Just like with a car, okay? I maintain my cars. I don't recall there was only one time that I actually broke down, and I didn't actually break down. A piece of construction material was left near the highway, and it punctured my tire. So my car didn't break down, but my tire blew out almost instantly because it was a big piece of rebar. Okay, so that wasn't my fault. And I had somebody that came to my aid and helped me out. But the point I'm just trying to make is, We need to take note of the fact that we do a lot of things today out of fear because of the propaganda, and they've got us believing a lot of the things in our world today are necessities when they're really not. We have to be careful of that. We're being herded like cattle in almost everything we do. And it's all marketing, it's all fear tactics and fear porn. And again, I'm not trying to tell people what to do. If they feel more comfortable doing it, even though they know they're being tracked, well then, okay, fine. But at least understand that that's what's happening. As long as that device is on you, they can track you, they can listen in on you. We now know that they can turn the camera on. So if it's sitting in your house or you're carrying it around, you basically are giving a video tour of your home. They know who's in the home, what's in the home. They know where it's at. There was a couple that was called by a neighbor about a year or so ago. They had one of those Siris or whatever that box is that's tied into the internet. And a neighbor called them and said, You guys shouldn't be talking about that. And they said, what the hell are you talking about? We're in our bedroom having a conversation. We're going to bed. They said, well, it's being broadcast because I was just listening and the lady that called him told him verbatim what they were talking about. Because everybody thought it was just a conspiracy theory or tinfoil hat people talking. And yet this actually happened to people. So again, when just like the television itself, we said years and years ago, that television in the house, you're inviting the adversary into your house. When you put a TV up in your house, you're inviting the adversary to propagandize you in your home. And now with smart TVs, the TV itself is a spy device. So you not only have your phone to worry about, but all your so-called smart, and there's an acronym that SMART has got to do with military apparatus used to control and monitor us. All right. What's this? Mortgage companies require you to be insured is what Ella says. You have no choice. People used to be more open-minded, but today people become offended at the drop of a feather. Tele vision teaches people to become offended at every little thing. Well, yeah, and it's not just your mortgage companies, but when you get a loan for your car, they're requiring it. So again, when the Bible says that the lender, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And we seem to have forgotten that. So when you're going to borrow money, which they've got us all conditioned to do that, you can't live without borrowing. Even when I was a young man, I was told, make sure you get good credit, Dan. You don't want good credit. I thought, what do I need good credit for? I save up my money and I buy everything in cash. Oh, no, you got to have good credit. Because they want you to become a borrower, because now you'll be a slave to the lender. So the lender wants you to have a certain amount of insurance. You got to pay for it, even if it's outrageous, which today it is outrageous. Same thing when you're home, you know, you want to get a mortgage for your home. Okay, now you got to insure it. Now, isn't that a pretty neat way to run a business? You're going to make three times what you lend for a house. So you're going to lend somebody $100,000 for a house. You're going to get $300,000 back. And on top of that, you get to tell the person you lent the money to pay for the insurance in case your house burns down or gets damaged so that they don't have any liability. So isn't that a pretty slick Jewish way to make money? They lend it to you at interest to where they're going to get 3 to 4 times the amount back. And at the same time, they've got the legal side making laws saying that you have to get insurance to make sure they don't lose money on their investment. What a scam. What a scam. We're all in the wrong profession. We should all get little yarmulkes and go to the Wailing Wall and pretend to be Jews and get in on the racket. That's pretty good. Invest your money. You'll get 3 to 4 times that money back. And at the same time, the person that you give the money to has to pay all of the insurance to make sure you don't lose money. But they don't get any of the profit. We're being scammed 6 ways to Sunday in this day and age. It's just unbelievable.
I went and seen the that movie, The Sound of Freedom, Saturday. It's been years since I've been to a movie theater, but all this controversy over it, I had to see it for myself. And it wasn't that good of a movie, but everybody's attacking it. And the thing that I want to say, we should be using this movie to open the door of the conversation of child trafficking. And not demonize it. Yeah, it's not that good. And yeah, some of the players aren't, you know, the best of people. But look at Hollyweird. I mean, I don't see our people attacking and doing all this research and saying all this stuff about the, like, for example, the new show on Hula and one of these cartoon things about a satanic girl. You know, I don't see anybody digging into who wrote that.
Right.
And I just want people to take the opportunity to talk, to use this movie to open the door for the conversation, not demonize it and not care about. I mean, the thing is, oh, it's a white guy who's a hero. The very first predator they catch is obviously Jewish. The woman, the female recruiting these children is a black female from Colombia. The majority of them are non-white. I think there was only one white guy. He drove a van. At the end of the movie, they talk about the child trafficking, and the biggest destination is the United States. And look at all this stuff coming over the border, and we've heard the horror stories about kids coming over the border. And I will tell you, I'm a fucking hardcore racist. I don't like mixed skins, and I don't like niggers. But you know what I really don't like is people raping children. And that's what we need to focus on. Not who did the movie, who backed the movie, but what the movie's about.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. I don't know that people, I'm not sure that the average zombie out there gives a darn about much of anything anymore, really. My biggest thing is we've got a lot of problems in this world. Trafficking is one of them, of course, but we've got tons of problems and very little as far as people ready to get up and do something about it. So I think it's good to make people aware. But I'm not sure that even if they are aware, if they're going to do anything. I mean, look at we've got treason at almost every level of government there is. So when are we going to start hanging these bastards? I just don't know that the people have any empathy left in them, to be honest.
Well,
my
thing is, you know, we see blacks rioting and burning buildings down over a criminal, but oh boy, I'm mad. But okay, do you remember when they FaceTimed those blacks FaceTimed beating that white handicapped child, the kid?
Yeah.
Does anyone? Okay. Well, the Sadistic Souls is right there in Chicago. Was any of them at the courthouse? Did any of them stand up and do anything? Did any of our people show up for that? No. We don't do a damn thing. And that's the problem. Us. Just like Louis Beam said, we're the problem.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm still searching for a way to wake up and energize white people to get off their butts and do anything. I've been trying to do it for 40 years, and I must not be doing a very good job. I don't know. I don't know what it takes to get people going. I said years ago, you know, I'm beginning to think that if a father walked to his front door, and out in his front yard, his wife and two daughters were being raped by a gang, I don't know that he would do anything about it. The men, when I was a boy, if a man walked to his door and somebody was even molesting his child or his wife, let alone raping them, he would have got the shotgun and shot him right on the spot. Shot him dead. Either that or take a piece of pipe and beat him to death. Wouldn't even think about it.
And I do think the TV has a lot to do with it. And now everybody's on the computer. I remember when we'd have meet and greets. I can't remember the last time there was a meet and greet. Maybe 2017? But we don't do nothing. We sit and bitch online. But we don't do nothing. Not even in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities. And it's pathetic what we've become.
I agree. It, you know, a good case in point is we had a lot of crime here in the neighborhood. I live in a gated community. It's mostly manufactured homes and RVs. And when I first came here, it was almost all Europeans, but it slowly is becoming much more darker. And we had a severe crime problem with the dark elements outside of the walls coming in over the walls and stealing. A few times it was home invasions, but most of the time it was stealing. And so we, the men of the community, formed our own patrols, our own security forces outside of the security provided by the park. We formed our own crime watch. And eventually the crime has disappeared quite a bit because we gave meetings where we told people how to lock their doors, how to install better locks, how to put up security lights. And we had volunteers that joined the men, would volunteer to take tours through the neighborhood to secure the neighborhood and to keep to apprehend criminals if we caught them, and also to keep them out by making it very visible that we were armed and that we were patrolling our neighborhoods. So it had an effect. But like you said, we had to get off our butts, and sometimes we had to get up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because we'd get a phone call there was suspicious activity. So two or three of us would get up and go get our gear, and we would go and patrol that area, and if there was a problem, we would take care of it. It didn't sound like much. It didn't cost any money, and yet it solved the problem. So, you know, you expand that to the country, it's the same thing. We have to get together, agree there's a problem, and we have to solve it ourselves. It's not going to get solved by politicians, police officers, corporations, because they created the problem. They're not going to fix it. It's up to we, the people. And I don't know what it takes to get people motivated. I thought in my youth, I mistakenly thought that if, like this show and others, made people aware, it would get them angry and want to take control, take action. And I've been sadly mistaken over the years that our people just don't seem to have any fight left in them. The vast majority don't seem to have any fight.
I want to apologize for saying the F word, but when it comes to children, I don't know. I just don't like this. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Please don't ever call children's services on your neighbor. If your neighbor is beating their child, go over and beat them up. Because children's services is another big organization that is a sex ring. They steal children. My youngest daughter, her nephew, has been in children's services for 2 years. We have contacted in Preble County in Eaton, Ohio, right next to the border of Indiana. For two years, we have contacted the Attorney General, Juvenile Courts, Children's Services. She went and got fingerprinted. And we cannot get any feedback about this child. His mom is deceased, my daughter's sister. So, you know, there goes that to help us. But children's services, they... So if you have a problem with your neighbor, you take care of it. Do not put a child in jeopardy of being abused or even murdered.
I agree with that 100%. In fact, some of the people here with us tonight are witness to the evils of the CPS or Child Protective Services in this country. We know up close and personal about the criminality of that organization, and they are not what they purport themselves to be. And you're exactly right. Shame on the person that gets any government agency involved in any kind of dispute. Even in the Bible, it says what? Stay out of the courts. The Bible says, stay out of the courts. The enemy owns the courts. Solve your problems outside of the courts. Now, if you don't have any choice, okay, obviously, then you're like Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel didn't want to be in the lion's den, I'm sure of that. So if you find yourself in a lion's den, then you got to do what you got to do. But if you have a choice, you don't get the government involved, and you sure as hell don't get involved with the court system. Solve the problem some other way, but don't get those people involved. Your chances of getting justice are very, very slim. Very slim. I yield. Anybody got something new? Charles, you're with us tonight, so anything you want to bring to the group?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, can. Yes.
Great. Excellent discussion. It's good to see a lively group here. Sorry I was a bit late. On the courts, in chat there, I mentioned the Exodus 18 model. You know, we're commanded under biblical Torah law to establish our own courts. And the New Testament indicates similar that is there not a righteous man among you that can judge these cases? But you go to the de facto courts. You're absolutely correct, Dan, about staying out of the de facto Roman Empire slave trader courts, civil, municipal, statutory jurisdiction. But under our constitutional system in the USA, it was founded on principles of biblical Torah law and Anglo-American common law, which are just mirror images of each other. They're the same set of principles that have been preserved in our Protestant tradition. And in early America, around the Revolutionary War times, there were lots of local community courts that were upholding common law principles and assembling juries to do what was right before God without any consideration whatsoever of statutory codes. Okay, and it's my argument that that's what we need to be reverting to. And if we just say, with all due respect, Dan, your choice of wording, I think, there could be improved in that total avoidance of courts makes it kind of sound like we're lawless anarchists, that we don't want any accountability whatsoever. And I think the correct position is we're not afraid of accountability before God or other righteous people. We're just afraid of getting drugged before a bunch of devil worshipers that are going to railroad us. So those would be my only comments. And from yourself and others, I appreciate feedback there. I yield.
Yeah, well, when I said stay out of the courts, I'm talking about their courts. They call them courts, okay? And we've said that we want to live under a biblical law system. And in the Leviticus and Deuteronomy and the Exodus models, we have the blueprint for adjudicating our disagreements. Now, some people call that a court, but that's not necessarily what it is. It's basically being taken in front of the elders. That's what the Bible called it. Because you take them in front of the elders, and that's where you have your quote, trial. There's no lawyers there. There's no judge like the court system has a judge. You have elders who will hear the case. It's more almost like a tribunal. So if it's a small matter, it would be just a tribunal of, say, three elders would hear the case and adjudicate it. If it's a capital crime, such as murder or rape, now you need to bring in a jury. Okay, you've got to have a jury, and then both the accused and the accuser have their say. No lawyers are involved. They just come in and they present their material to the jury. And then the jury, which is made up of people from the community, the men, they hear the case and decide the matter in that setting. So it's not formal like they do it today, and there's no case law. Case law has nothing to do with justice. Every case before the body of the elders is unique. The Bible does not ever talk about case law. Only wicked lawyers and Jews talk about case law. Case law, who gives a crap? I even told a young lady that was an assistant prosecutor when I first started getting into my fighting the beast system, which was clear back in the 1980s, and she tried to tell me that, you know, people have tried to fight the driver's license and registration issue before and they lost. And I just looked at her and I said, ma'am, I said, with all due respect, this is my day in court. And I really don't give a damn if 6,000 other people in this county tried it and lost. This is my day in court, and I want a jury to hear what I have to say. And then she scurried off and came back and said, the judge would like to talk to you in private. And when I had my private conversation with the judge, he pretty much understood what I was trying to do and actually helped me out. So the point of it is, her first attempt was to do exactly what they do to every other sheep out there and try to dissuade you from fighting the system by simply saying, everybody else that's tried that has failed. But again, we all have our own day before our peers. Case law does not matter. Case law should be absolutely never even considered. So everything is upside down, just as Charles was saying. They've completely adulterated the pure and simple biblical law on how to handle all of the matters that come up in our lifetime, whether it's dispute with neighbors, whether it's about child rearing, our food production, animal husbandry. The Bible is very pure, very simple. And as one person said recently, you could all boil everything down to the simple phrase of do no harm. Okay? Do no harm to your neighbor, to the land, to the animals, the vegetation, the sky, etc. Do no harm. And yet we've polluted everything. We've politicized everything. We have weaponized everything, which again, the communist Jews, they're famous for doing that. They take everything and turn it into a weapon, whether it's sex, whether it's gender, whether it's homophobia, you name it. They weaponize everything. And they use it to bring down the target, which is you and me. Members of the white race, particularly members of the white race that believe in the God of the Bible, we're the number one target. They got to get rid of us. And so they'll weaponize everything. They'll get the zombies out here to agree that we got to go because, according to the communists, every problem we've got is one we created. And really what they're saying is they won't listen. They won't allow us to take over. They won't give up their lives like the Russians and the Koreans and the South Vietnamese and all the other poor countries that have fallen under the heel of communism. They just won't roll over and let us mass murder them and put them in mass graves like everybody else did. So we're the enemy. Personally, I think we're at the end of this earth age. I think it's time that the criminals, the evil ones, need to be uprooted and eliminated, as Obadiah and Ezekiel and Malachi all say. It's our privilege, according to the Psalm, if you read Psalm 149 and Psalm 91, it's our honor and our privilege to be his battle axe and weapons of war to eliminate the evil in this world. And that's what I'm here to do. In every way I can do it, I'm going to destroy these people. Now, obviously, I don't have the power tonight to do it, or I'd click my fingers and they'd be all vaporized and gone. But somehow, some way, our Father is going to make a way for his sons and daughters to rise up and overthrow this system and exterminate it. That's our job. That's what Adamic man was put here to do, to bring order on this earth, They like to say order out of chaos, but they create the chaos so that they can bring in the new world order, which is Jewish communism. But our Heavenly Father says order will come out of chaos in the sense that my people will rise up and go after those who have created this chaos. Man-made chaos, not natural at all. It's man-made chaos. And my sons and daughters will rise up and they will destroy these people. That's got to happen. It's going to happen. That's our destiny. That's what we're here for. And that's what we're desperately trying to get our people to realize. This is our destiny. This is what the hell we're even here for. And why in the world it's taken this long to get us to understand that, I don't know. That part still mystifies me. But I have total confidence in my Heavenly Father and the fact that He did not put me on this earth by mistake. He did not have me learn by mistake. He did not send me down all the rabbit holes that I've been down in my lifetime by accident. It's for a purpose. This radio show coming into existence almost 24 years ago was not an accident. The number of people who have heard the truth of Scripture is not an accident. The fact that there are grassroots movements starting to rise up and realize that we need to get rope and hang these sons of bitches, that's starting to catch on. The fact that we greatly outnumber the misfits and the criminals that are out there is starting to catch on. So it's only a matter of time before these two diametrically opposed forces are going to come to blows. It's just the way it is, all right? It's just the way it is. People say, well, Dan, you can't promote violence. I'm not promoting anything. I'm simply telling you what's going to happen, whether I'm here or not. So how could I be promoting it if I'm not? I might not even be here. It's going to happen anyway because it's meant to happen. It's also a law of nature. When you have two opposing forces, completely opposite forces occupying the same space, we call it Earth, they cannot coexist. One side has to annihilate the other. I don't know about you folks, but I vote for our side to win. I saw a meme earlier today that was really good. It said, our problem is we're playing by the rules when the other side has no rules. That's one of the biggest problems that white people have. We have a sense of honor, and we think we got to fight fair, and we have to fight by rules when we're up against an enemy that has no rules whatsoever. So we got to start thinking, you fight fire with fire. If you're up against an enemy that likes to fight with no rules, all right, I'm in. No quarter asked and no quarter will be given. Total warfare. You were going to say something, Melissa.
In 1 Samuel 15. Or was it Saul commanded to completely destroy Amalek? And let me say something. I love the Fuhrer, but that's the mistake he made. He didn't obey the laws of our Heavenly Father because he told us to destroy him. He didn't say, oh, put him on a ship and let him go to America. No, he said to destroy them. All of them, their children, their cattle, their crops. And that's what we're supposed to do, is follow what he tells us to do.
Yep. And a lot of people say that sounds awful cruel. How could Jesus and the God of the Bible condone such things? And so it must be a Jewish book, and that's... that Jews like that because Jews think that gives them a license to commit all kind of crimes. they don't seem to understand that in the biblical times that those stories are talking about, these heathen people were doing the same things that you see the degenerate people doing right now. They were cannibals. They were queers. They were trannies. They were pedophiles. They were sacrificing and drinking the blood of children. The exact same thing you're seeing now. So if you were told to eradicate the evil on this earth, you're going to let that exist? That'd be like telling a doctor, hey, I want you to get this tumor or cancer or something out of my body, but it's okay if you leave a big chunk of it in there. You got a disease in your land, and it's called all of these wicked, evil practices that have been going on since mankind's been on the earth. Why was Adam put here? To bring peace and order on this earth, because it was chaotic. These other races, these other peoples were doing all manner of evil, wicked things. Bestiality, that was another thing they were into. Sex with animals. So they were diseased. They were mental. Much like these clowns are today. So people say, well, I can't believe it was really all that bad back then. Really? Take a look around. You're in the middle of a cesspool of this kind of behavior. And you don't think 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, or 4,000 years ago it couldn't have happened? In this modern age, we've got it all over again.
And that's probably why he said to destroy their animals, because they was probably having sex with them and giving them whatever they're giving them today. You know, that we're eating hormones and antibiotics and all that garbage they put into them. And we know what they do. So that is probably why he said to destroy their animals too, because they were tainted.
Well, you're exactly right. In fact, you can read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy where it says that if somebody's caught doing bestiality, you're supposed to put the man and the beast to death. All right? That's right in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So it's not like, oh, well, that's animal cruelty and there's no good reason for that. Well, argue with the scripture then. Our Creator said if there's animals out there being treated like that and they've got human DNA in them because of the idiot farmer that's out there planking his cattle, all right, we don't know what's going on inside that animal, but the Father does. And he said you put death because it's going to create monsters. It's going to create things with mixtures of DNA, and that is a bad thing. And you say, well, how do you know that, Dan? Again, take a look outside your doors and windows at the society we're finding ourselves in. That's what happens when you mix the pure and the impure. That's what happens when you allow just flagrant race mixing. And now, frickin' transhumanism and animal sex and just about everything imaginable. You're living in it. You're living in Babylon. You're living in the days of Noah. And all the other prophets, when they talked about the Israelites when they got there and the things they witnessed them doing, you're living in it. It's a cesspool. I don't know how anybody could dispute the Bible at this point, or at least the historical documents, by saying it's nonsensical. Really? You're in biblical times right now. Go ahead. Put your hand up.
Yeah, I unmuted.
A little louder, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing that came to mind was a verse in which we're told to be as wise as a serpent or as wise as a Jew, but as gentle as a dove. Now, I think a lot of people are not aware how violent doves really are. When Christ told you to be as gentle as a dove, here's one thing people forget. Doves, when they attack in groups, and they are very, very violent creatures.
Well, that's an interesting point. But, you know, here's the thing. He said to be as innocent as a dove. Okay? Be as innocent as a dove. A dove is capable of violence, but a dove does not do it out of malice. It doesn't do it because it has some sort of an agenda or profit motive. It's because a predator or somebody is interfering with their community or trying to get their eggs or whatever. And then they group and attack, which is what we're saying. And Ella brought up the point. We're not saying that we should go out here and attack wholesale Babylon. We can't do that. It's not our job to try to do that. But we are allowed to defend ourselves. We are allowed to have our communities. And if Babylon tries to do anything to us in the communities, we're allowed to defend ourselves and to destroy them for trying to do that. Because we don't have the numbers at the moment, anyway, to take down all of Babylon. Besides that, all we have to do is stop supporting Babylon, and Babylon will fall flat on its face. You can't sustain a system made up of these retards and rejects that we've got today. I mean, everywhere I look in society, whether it's the grocery store, the local garage trying to get my car fixed or whatever, most of the people are mentally ill. You can't hardly find a teller or a clerk or a person stocking shelves that knows what the hell they're talking about. You sure as hell can't find auto mechanics that know what they're doing. At least none of the places I've been lately. Even the dealerships don't even know how to work on their own cars. And people don't see. Go ahead.
I was just saying, and here's the other thing that I've been at least hounding into friends and other people when we talk. I remind them, again, I always go back to Scripture, we're not supposed to take down the beast because we will lose. No one can ever say we could win against the beast. We're not. Because God himself said, he's making it get so bad that we can't win so that he has the glory and the world will know he is God.
Right.
Because I have friends, they think that we're somehow going to unite and take on, you know, D.C. and retake this country. We ain't retaking this country. That's a freaking dream. The only hope we have is to protect ourselves and our own communities and let God take down the beast because he said he's going to do it. Because if we win, then we get the glory. But God says he's going to make it so bad that we can't win, that only he could fix it so the whole world would know he is God, and the glory is his alone.
Yep, amen. I remember telling you that as a boy. That's right.
In the book of Jasher, three of Jacob's sons slaughtered a whole village because they had God on their side. We don't need a big number. We just need to have God on our side.
And he is on our side. But right now, I don't see that he is promoting the idea of an army of any size to take Babylon down. I don't see it. I think Babylon is here as punishment. We have the right to defend ourselves. And so far, as I know, the true Israelites who truly love Yahweh have been protected. That doesn't mean we don't have our skirmishes, because all of us have had skirmishes with the beast, but we're still here. And almost every case that I'm aware of, we ended up winning our skirmishes. It may have taken a little while, but we ended up winning. What's that?
I'm going to have to agree with you on that, but I just feel that us sitting idle, and I don't mean we need to go out and start slaughtering people. I kind of like to go out and start slaughtering people, but I feel that we're just being idle. And I'm telling you, this child trafficking thing, it is really weighing heavy on my heart, and it's really making me angry, so I probably am not coming on. I probably should just be quiet for the rest of the show.
Well, it is unnerving, especially when you consider what what's happening to these innocent children. But at the same time, we got to understand, and it's sad because the book even says the sins of the fathers and the mothers visited upon the children. A lot of these children don't have very good families. They don't have very good fathers and mothers because they're not watching them. Just like I told one of my children here recently with young children, you have to watch them. Don't you dare let them outside near a road by themselves. Don't you dare. Now, if they disobey, whose fault is that? Okay? I would still execute anybody trying to harm one of my grandchildren. I'd have no problem with that. They're going to get executed. But the point of it is, we also have to do due diligence. We can't expect Yahweh to come down and make up for our laziness or lack of paying attention or lack of dutiful fatherhood and motherhood. Okay, I told them, and they should know, in this day and age, you do not let your children go out unattended. When I was a boy, okay, so we're not going back all that far, maybe 60 years. When I was a boy, women did not drive cars. Almost unheard of, okay? Very few times did you see a woman by herself in a car. Very few times. There was always a male member of the family accompanying the woman. Usually older, too, not like a 3 or 4 year old boy. I'm talking about a young man or the husband or the grandfather or an uncle. Somebody was with mom when she went into town, when she went shopping. If she had to drive somewhere, she did not go alone. It wasn't all that long ago that no woman could sign a legal document in the United States without a male member of the family present. And it wasn't because of abuse. It was because they did not want the woman to be taken advantage of. Because, again, who got deceived in the garden? Who falls prey to the sweet-sounding words of these minorities and these kikes and everybody else? Come on, ladies, we have to admit it. The vast majority of the time, it's our women or our effeminate men. Okay? That's one of the problems. When you run off emotion, then sweet-sounding words can get to you. Whereas men are much more in the area of stone-cold logic, sweet-sounding words don't mean a whole lot to us. In fact, if anything, it's a trigger to be on our guard. If you're trying to schmooze me up with sweet-sounding words, I'm pretty sure you're up to something. All right? So again, there's mechanisms in place for protection, and Yahweh gave them to us. The Holy Spirit gives them to us. If we disobey him, whose fault is that? I can't blame the Father for that. I can't blame the Holy Spirit for that if I don't listen, if I don't follow through. And that's the problem with our people. We think that somehow we're like golden children, that we can go out here and make all kind of mistakes and be lackadaisical about the way we're doing things, and somehow we're going to get protected. I think we're trying to put too much on Yahweh's shoulders. He could do it. Don't... He created this world. Obviously, he could do it. But what would be the point? Just as I, as a father, had rules for the children and for the wives, and I expected them to be obeyed. And when they were obeyed, there were blessings. When they were disobeyed, there was punishment. Why would it be any different with our Heavenly Father? When he gives us a brain, he gives us free will. He gives us tools to learn. He's got information laying around us in this day and age all over the place. And he communicates with us, if we take the time to talk to him, real time, by the Holy Spirit. And if we disobey all of that, then who do we blame other than ourselves for the state of affairs? The problem is we don't have a lot of true believers amongst our people anymore. That's the biggest problem. We got people that are lip service believers, followers, They've got lip service down pat, but when it comes to actually living it, living the word, a lot of them fall short. And it's sad because this could be such a beautiful world if we'd all just obey what we've been told. That's why I was glad I sent some information out on email right here in Central Florida. A man and his wife, they own, I think, 400 and some acres in the middle of the state, and they are teaching people to put in permaculture forests on people's properties, basically making them completely off-grid and independent sources of food on their property, no matter what size property they have. They give classes on how to do it. You can go there and walk around and see what they've done on their property. And it's an amazing thing. And it's happening right here in Central Florida. And it's becoming a huge effort. People are now starting to take action. And again, they're not organizing to go after Washington, D.C. or Tallahassee, the state capital. They're organizing to form communities of like-minded families. And like this gentleman that started this project said, even the liberals, even the Democrats, even the people that are New World Order types are actually coming and visiting and love what they see and actually fighting to protect what he's built. Because they can see what's coming down the pike. They can see the corruption of the food supply chain and the fact that they're going to weaponize the food. Even the liberals are starting to see that they've been betrayed. So again, like this guy that started it said, I just decided to build a better model. Exactly like Buckminster Fuller said. The New World Order is a obsolete, falling apart communist system. All we have to do is, what the Bible tells us, get together and form communities. We can do that in small numbers. Get land next to each other, start growing food, put in permaculture, live off grid. We can make electricity, multitude of ways of making electricity. I know that for a fact. Okay. You don't need much electricity, by the way, if you do things right. You got to remember, this system is built to keep you as a perpetual customer for electricity, spare parts, and all that. Whereas if white men get together like they did in the old days and we figure out ways of putting things together, they can last for a couple hundred years. Like the Amish, when they put a barn up, it's not unusual to find their barns still standing 100, 150, sometimes 200 years later. That barn is still standing because they built it the right way. Go ahead, Kumri.
I was just going to add that if we go back far enough, our ancestors actually energized the entire world with free energy.
If you go back far enough, yeah. Well, see, you know, and there's been some truth tellers recently have said the exact same thing we've been saying. They have hidden from us many of the things that have been known for thousands of years, sources of energy and sources of food. There's plenty of room for everybody and all kind of food. Everything that's a shortage, it's a man-made shortage. There's plenty for everybody. So, once again, it's man, the machinations of evil men that are doing all the things that are wrong in this world. So you follow the money, it'll take you to the group of men that are doing it, and that's the root of your problem. Every single time. And for us, we were told to come out of her, which means unplug from this matrix, and come back to me. And live like free men and women upon the land. There's ways to do it. If we put our heads together, there's lots of ways of doing that. And I'm just waiting for a group of people that would like to invite me to come along. I would love to do that here in Florida or anywhere else, actually. what's what we need to do. We need to get a group of people that want to work together and figure out a way of financing it ourselves, using our own banking, not their banks, banking within ourselves, private banking, and we can do that. Our people know how to do these sorts of things. We just have to have the motivation. We have to have the will. We have the talent. Our people are loaded with talent. Kumri says the love of money is the root of all evil. Yep, sure enough. Ralph says, if you are set up right, you do not need electricity. I'm almost set up for that eventually. Yeah, that's right. You know, if you live by the cycle of the sun and the moon, you shouldn't be up at night anyway. Nighttime is when you're supposed to go to bed. When it gets dark out, your Socratic rhythm or whatever it's called, I can't remember the pronunciation, but it's the when the light disappears, the melatonin kicks in and you get sleepy. When the sun comes up, it goes through the eyes, and in comes the serotonin, and you wake up and you got energy. Okay, that's the natural rhythm of the body. That's the way we were made. And, of course, we don't do it now. We got artificial lights. We got street lights. We got stores lit up, shops, tiki huts, bars, theaters, and all kinds of things that keep us up when our bodies should be at rest. We do everything wrong today. I mean, really, if you stop and think about it, what aren't we doing wrong today? We do everything wrong, and then we wonder why we have so many problems. And we don't have time to get into the whole childbirthing thing, but we do that all wrong. Everything about bringing a child into this world today is absolutely asinine. Everything we do is asinine. The conceiving of children is asinine. It's all out of lust and all of that, rather than planning and picking the right person to want to mate with in order to have good genetic carriance into the descendants. We don't even think about that stuff anymore. It's all hormones. It's all, oh, he gave me a thrill, so jump in the sack and produce a child. Okay. How's that working out for everybody? Not too well. Used to be it was planned. It was thought about. There was a way to judge the person that was a potential mate and their families. Because remember, fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. What's the rest of their family like? If it's a totally dysfunctional family, you want to get tied up with that? You think that's going to work out well for you? I mean, we threw all of the mechanisms that both the Father, the Holy Spirit, and our ancestors, everything they ever gave us to help us stay on track, we threw it all away in the modern era. Thanks to our cute little folks with the little hats, putting it in the movies and the magazines, on the telly, and all this other stuff. We believed it, we fell for it, and we threw all of it away, because after all, science and modern times, we don't need what, it's old-fashioned. Circadian rhythm. Kumri says it's circadian rhythm. 5-gallon buckets with a lot of salt on hand in case the freezer goes out. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can salt your food. You can also smoke it. I can remember my grandfather had a smokehouse right outside the back door to the kitchen at the farmhouse. And when we used to play hide and seek as a child, I used to hide in the smokehouse because I liked the smell of it. There'd be, well, unfortunately, there were hams in there. And there was other deer, and there were beef hanging in there in the smokehouse. And the aroma, I found the aroma to be very kind of tasty, because you could smell that smoked meat hanging in there. No flies, no rotting, no deterioration. Simple smokehouse. Smoke your meat or pack it in salt, like Ralph says. Yeah, you don't need refrigeration. Let's see here. What else we got? Very Very good. All right. I was just reading some of the chats, and it's been an hour and a half, so I need to let you folks get on with your evenings, and so do I need to get on with mine. Good lively discussions, as always. Appreciate that. Let's see. Ella says, Dan, never stop what you're doing. Thank you. Yep, got to get into work. Yep, everybody's got things to do, so let me just mute everybody, and I'll close this out here with a short prayer. And, okay, everybody else is muted. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this gathering here tonight, bless those that will hear later on as a archived copy. We're trying our best, Father. We really are. I know we fall short so many times, especially in this day and age. But really, our ancestors sort of let us down a little bit. Some of our parents, some of our grandparents, they stopped teaching us the things that were taught in bygone years. And so some of us have had to relearn it the old-fashioned way, through hard knocks. And it's been tough. But I think the hearts of our people are pure, Father. I think they truly, truly want to be right with you, right with each other. And so we just ask tonight that you would look down on us with mercy and compassion, that your sons and daughters are doing the best they know how. And if you would just give us a little bit more of a push and a little bit more of help, we will do and follow you. We will do your will on this earth and follow you wherever you want to take us. This world is in terrible, terrible shape. And yes, we're part of the problem, but we want to be part of the solution now too. And so to that end, please guide us by your spirit. Help us to work together as brothers and sisters. Give us good insight. Give us discernment. Take away the spirit of fear. Give us courage to go forward and trust you. You're behind everything going on in this world. Nothing happens outside of you. And we know that you are the strength of this world, not the enemy. And so our safety lies in being under your wings, as Psalm 91 says. And that's what we strive to do. Be under your wings to do your will, and then just trust that you will look out after us as the bird looks after the little chicks under her wings. To that end, be with us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, Father Yahweh, and protect us from our enemies. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.